Amen. I believe God's getting ready to answer some prayers. Praise God. Amen. With that said, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. We are in Luke chapter number 22. I make no promises about tonight, no promises about being short, no promises of being long. Amen. It's just going to be whatever it is. Amen. But I do have a thought here tonight. I have a burden, and I feel just trying to pray and seek God for direction, not just for this service, but for direction concerning the church and for the year in general. I got an evangelist that's on hold right now waiting. He's ready to come. He could be here in a couple of weeks. And I'm just praying and seeking God and asking God if this is right for us now. I know where I want to go, and it's not necessarily where I want to go, but I feel I know the direction of the Spirit, what God would have us to do. And I got a lot of setting up and preparing for that. And that's not just in me doing individual things. It's preparing the church, setting up the church, and helping the church, amen, to catch the vision. It is my responsibility to be able to put forth the vision. Praise God. So would you help me pray about that? I need to be able to get back with him very, very quickly. But amen. I want the mind of the Spirit. Amen. I am in Luke chapter number 22, and we're going to begin verse number 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Skipping down to verse number 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not in temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and knelt down and prayed. Praise God. Amen. I was reading this today, and something came to me that I guess I've never seen before. I'm not preaching anything new, anything revelatory per se. I felt led to dig deeper, teaching and preaching on prayer, and approached this passage here tonight, and I saw something here. We talk about, read about Simon. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And then we know that just a few verses later, Jesus, at the Mount of Olives, asking his disciples to follow him, was at the place, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. And then he, withdrawing himself a stone's cast further, knelt down and prayed. And so I simply want to teach a little while here tonight about living in the shadow of a praying master. Amen. Living in the shadow of a praying master. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God, we need you today. Need you, Lord. God, we cannot do anything without you. We're resting upon you, believing in you and trusting in you, asking God for the confirmation of the Spirit, for the nudging of the Holy Ghost, for the inspiration of the Spirit to come into this place, to come upon us, God, and help us, Lord, to be have understanding. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to receive enlightenment, revelation, God, and to apply it to our hearts here today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. And you may be seated tonight. Praise God. Amen. Living in the shadow of a praying master. Several different times in the New Testament, we find the Lord Jesus Christ going into a place of prayer. Mark chapter number 1, verse 35, the morning rising up great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And the Bible said that Simon and the rest that were with him followed after him. Obviously, Matthew chapter number 26, verse 36 coincides with what we read in Luke 22 and 39. Jesus, coming unto a place called Gethsemane, said unto his disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And according to Luke, he had just told Peter that Satan desired to have him, that he may sift him as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And then we see that he would take Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Went a little further, fell on his face, and he prayed. Praise God. 8 different places of what I have found in Scripture, we find the Lord Jesus Christ finding a place and praying. I believe that he taught us to pray by example. Amen. Not just by word, not just by deed, or not just by word, but also with deed. We would see that the disciples would at one point in time come unto Jesus and they would say, "Lord, teach us to pray." I think that that is very unique in that they said in book of Matthew and in Luke, they said, "Teach us to pray." They did not necessarily say, "Teach us how to pray." Amen. And that's where a lot of people have fallen short, in that they feel led to repeat the Lord's Prayer. And he just simply said, "After this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then he went forth. Amen. How to pray is that you would repeat that. Amen. But in repeating that, you're not going to get very far. But they said unto him, "Teach us to pray." I don't have time to get into that. That's a completely different lesson. But the lesson that is involved in what we call the Lord's Prayer is teaching us to pray, not how to pray, in being repetitive and saying that. But it is to pray in what we do when we pray. Also in that, when we ask the Lord to teach us to pray, amen, be prepared for a reason to pray. Amen. And there's going to be trials that are going to come and things that's going to happen in your life that's going to cause you to pray. But just remember that God will never put anything upon you, anything more upon you than what you can bear. But at the same time, we must also remain cognizant and understanding that what we are facing here today, I know this isn't going to make you feel better, but what you are facing today is in order to prepare you for what you will face tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. God knows that we are not able to deal with it. God knows that we are not able to overcome that. God knows that we are susceptible to failure if we are to fight some of these things now. For instance, it would be absolutely suicide for me to decide that tomorrow I'm going to go to Colorado and climb a 14,000 peak mountain. Amen. But if you give me a little hill, I probably could conquer that. And if you help me and let me give me some time and stuff, I'll be able to conquer a little bit bigger hill after a while, and maybe in a year or two, with all of these little things coming under my feet, I'll be able to take on that 14er. But not today. Praise God. Amen. And not tomorrow either, or next week either. Praise God. But such is the case with prayer and in living for God. God knows the valleys that you are going to go through. He knows the hardships that you are going to face. He knows the situations in your life that are going to come your way. We see this in our text when he tells Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, I perceive some things. I see a little bit further than you see down the road. And I am telling you that Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Thank God for a praying Savior, for a praying Master, for a praying God. Amen. If I would be allowed such leniency, amen, to say that. But the Bible teaches us that if God be for us, then who can be against us? God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be successful in life. God wants you to overcome the enemy of your soul. God does not care that you would have failures and that you would have faults and that you would have shortcomings. God does not care, amen, that you would, amen, blunder around in life and wind up backsliding. God doesn't fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, to show you how big of a nobody you are if he removes his grace from you. God doesn't fill you with the Holy Ghost just simply so that you can feel chill bumps on top of chill bumps, but God fills you with the Holy Ghost to overcome every trial that you face, every situation that you come up against, every feeling that wants to overwhelm you, every emotion that tries to tear you down. Amen. God wants to help you. The Bible said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Amen. And to present you faultless before the throne of his glory. Amen. God wants you to be faultless. God wants to present you victoriously. God doesn't get any thrills, amen, by you falling, amen, and succumbing to the enemy. God wants you to depend upon him. God wants to come through for you. God wants to show up big in your life. Thank God for a Savior that has my best interest in his mind. Praise God. I feel like if we could oftentimes remember that, amen, that God wants us to be successful. Praise God. How much greater and how much better and how much further we could get in life. And with that said, let me just make this statement here tonight. Amen. That God wants to see your neighbor right here in this church, right here in this church. I'm not talking outside of this place. Amen. But God wants to see your neighbor, amen, succeed and to make it. Praise God. Amen. Turn around and look at somebody and tell them God wants to see you succeed. Amen. 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 I'm setting you up. I'm setting you up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't be looking at anybody and saying, well, I wonder when they're going to fall. I wonder, amen, what's going to happen to them. I wonder when they're going to mess up. Amen. It's not going to be too much longer before they fall in a pit of sin. Amen. And start thinking, when you do that, you are on the opposite side of God. God's not looking for anybody to fall. God's not looking for you to mess up. God's looking, amen, that even though you're on the brink of messing up, he's going to send a preacher by your way to try to pull you up out of the molly grubs, try to pull you up out of your valley of temptation. God wants you to succeed. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. All of this rubbish that says if they've got to go to hell, then so be it. Nobody has to go to hell. God died, amen, and his blood was shed so that every individual could have life and life more abundantly. Well, I just know them, and I just know that
that they're just a big hypocrite, and I just know it's not the will of God, and God is for them. Amen. And even though they may be a hypocrite, there is a loving God who shed his blood on Calvary's cross that's saying, hey buddy, I got hope for you. One of these days you're going to hit an altar, and one of these days your life is going to be changed. I'm praying for you, and not only am I praying for you, I've got a man of God in your life that's praying for you. I've got a preacher's wife that's praying for you. I've got Sunday school teachers that are praying for you. I've got youth leaders that are praying for you. I've got former ministry that is praying for you. I've got a church that is praying for you. Hey, I set you up for success. I'm putting you in a place that you're going to be the head and not the tail. I'm putting you in a place that you shall be overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be on God's side. I want to be on God's side. God is praying for you. I want to be praying for you. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. If God thinks that you can make it, I want to think that you can make it. Amen. I want to take quit out of the vocabulary. Amen. I want to take the word defeated out of the vocabulary unless it's against the devil's camp. Amen. Unless it's against the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said that he's going to give us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Amen. And that we would have power over all the power of the enemy. I just want you to know tonight, I'm not trying to be negative, but if you got sin in your life, you don't have power yet. But what you need is the Holy Ghost. You need the gift of the Spirit within you. And through him, you can do all things. You can conquer cigarettes. You can conquer alcohol. You can conquer pornography. You can conquer perversion. You can conquer lying. You can conquer cheating. No weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper as long as you've got God. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Well, church, we're living in the shadow of the praying master. We're living in the shadow of the praying master. He abides in this place, and his shadow is hovering over this house. Hey man, I want to be a part of this house. I want to be a part of this church. I want to be a part of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, let's just give him praise and thanks today. Man, be seated. But with all of that in life, there's going to be frustrations. Oh, yeah. There's going to be frustrations. Because you and I are 100% human. We may have the Holy Ghost, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to live frustrated at times. We are going to have frustrations. And probably one of the greatest frustrations that we will experience in life is in prayer, when we just don't feel like it's getting through. The one that is for us, the one that we live in his shadow, and I just feel like it's not getting through. So let's talk about that tonight. I know last week I addressed this as I preached, looking into the things which I cannot see, and talked about Daniel praying 21 days and fasting. Isn't this the answer? Isn't this what I'm supposed to do? But yet, I don't feel like the answer's here. I haven't received anything. 21 days later, the angel comes down unto him and begins to show him what he could not see. He could not see war that was going on in the heavens, preventing his answer from coming. And so he is frustrated. And so I hit a little bit upon those frustrations, and that's what I want to talk about here tonight, is frustration in prayer. Nothing more frustrating in prayer than to feel like your prayers are not leaving the room. You just don't feel like they're getting through. When you feel like
your prayers are not getting through. That just wants you to pray more, right? If that's the way that you feel the exact opposite of the way that I feel. Because when I feel like my prayers aren't getting through, it doesn't really make me want to go pray. Kind of feel like I'm wasting my time. I just want you to know you're not wasting your time, and I'm not wasting my time either. We're going to talk about that a little bit here tonight. But there are things, more than likely, that are going on in the spiritual world. And God is going to honor consistency. You're going to feel better with consistency. You're going to be more effective with consistency. And so to feel like the words that you are praying are just falling off of your lips and just dropping to the floor does not excite you about praying. To pray and not feel any connection to heaven or to God is not going to just make you want to pray three times a day. Am I the only one that feels that way? When you're frustrated, and one of the first things that comes with frustration is the emotion of quit, give up. Well, you know what? It's not going to change. It's not going to get any better. So I'm just going to quit. That's what frustration breeds. And the enemy knows that. The enemy of your soul knows. And so he's going to do his best to frustrate you. To feel no power, to feel no unction with your prayer is frustrating. It's frustrating, discouraging to pray and not to feel a spiritual release or to feel the presence of God. And the main purpose of prayer is fellowship with God, and that goal is not achieved. When that goal is not achieved in prayer, then prayer is not fulfilling and it's not rewarding. And because that we are human, that's just the way that we operate, all right? That's just the way that we operate. I've heard this said so many times. Oh, bless God, thank the Lord. If he never blesses me again, I'm still going to praise his name. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. That would probably be one of the hardest walks of life that you have ever walked. Beyond all temptation that you've ever fought, all the things that you've experienced, if God never blessed you again, would probably be the hardest thing that you ever faced. We thrive off of the blessings of God. We do. And thank God, the Bible teaches us that he loads us daily with benefits. Benefits that we don't even realize. Benefits that we take for granted. And so if he removes those benefits, it would be a dark world. Praise God. The Bible teaches us that every good and perfect gift cometh from above, down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Praise God. We thrive off of the blessings of God. And so we're going to feel frustrated and discouraged to pray, not feeling a spiritual release or feeling the presence of God. Main purpose of prayer is fellowship with God. And when that goal is not achieved, prayer is not fulfilling, prayer is not rewarding. And when there is no feeling of communion with God, then prayer becomes drudgery, becomes a toil, and it leaves us empty rather than full. And there are a few things in life more discouraging than a lifeless or a spiritless prayer life. Praise God. And there's few things that are less beneficial than a prayer life that is full of life and energy and spirit. Praise God. When you are connecting in the spirit, you're like the fastest car on the face of the earth hitting on all cylinders. It's like a spaceship feeling the thrust of the rockets as they kick off, and there's nothing, nothing that's going to be able to deter you or to hold you back. Amen. When you're connecting in prayer. But when you're not connecting in prayer, I could use a lot of different examples. Amen. One of them being like Brother Hunter's Ford pickup at times. I had to. Just continually breaking down. Sputtering, missing, misfiring, not hitting on all cylinders. That's what you're going to be like. Amen. Amen. It is. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And I drove an old car, and this car was actually given to us for free. And it looked like an army tank. I was taking a kid to Sunday school one time from the main church over to the annex building. And his dad was off at war over in, I guess it would have been Iraq. And so I told his mom, I was like, yeah, I'll take him. I'll take him over there. She's like, all right. So he came and got in my vehicle, and he got in it, and he morphed. He transformed into some military soldier. And here he is in my car. That's a hoopty. And here he is, and he's ducking down behind the dashboard, and he's leaning out. And he's shooting all the enemy and stuff like that. And he looks at me. He's like, this is cool. This is like an army tank. I wanted to say, shut up, kid. This is my car. But it reminded him of an army tank. Amen. With no suspension and bouncing all over the place. No muffler, cracks in the, different cracks in the windshield. Headlights held in by baling rope, twine, you name it. I had a cop pull me over one time, and he said I should impound this car, and I just about agreed with him. I just simply said, please don't. But there ain't nothing like trying to get out on the interstate or whatever, and you put the pedal to the metal. And sometimes that's the way our prayer life feels. Spitting and sputtering and not hitting and just not getting anywhere in life, and here you are, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I got a New Year's resolution. I got this New Year's resolution that I'm going to pray daily. And so you get down to pray, and it's like the enemy just threw a force field right over the top of you of some kind of 5-inch steel, titanium, whatever and stuff, and your prayers aren't getting out. You pray for about 10 to 15 minutes and you don't feel anything. You don't feel any connection. You don't feel. And she's like, you know, I got stuff at the house that I could be doing. I got clothes to wash. I got house to clean. I got job to do. I got stuff I can work on out in the yard. I got places to go. I got all this stuff and stuff. And all of a sudden the prayer just kind of turns off. You try to come back to it a little bit later or the next day and stuff, and it feels like the same way and just breeds frustration. And we quit. Until Wednesday night, sometime around 7 o'clock, 7:15, 7:20 or something like that, and we feel like maybe we ought to try praying again. Let me just state this. You cannot take prayer out of your life and live for God successfully. You can't do it. You cannot be faithful to the house of God every time the doors are open and take prayer out of your life and be successful. You're going to be extremely frustrated. You're going to feel like, you know what, I just don't feel like I get anywhere. It seems like every time I turn around, I'm being overwhelmed. I'm being torn down. I'm falling. I'm tripping. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Messing up. It just seems like nothing's going right for me in life. How much are you praying? Well, I'm faithful. I'm at church every time the doors are open. I pay my tithe. Some of you need to start paying your tithe. If you plan on being saved. I'm doing
doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. And how much are you praying? How many times have I've been in battles and such, and I've had different men of God that have come up to me. Well, I remember one time in Colorado Springs was just going through some things. I went to Brother Johnson. I just told him, I'm just struggling. I'm just fighting. He said, well, don't stop. That's not the answer I want. But nevertheless, it's the truth. I just don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. And then they tell you, well, just keep praying. That's the problem. I don't feel like praying. I know I need to pray, but I don't feel like praying. Because I feel like my prayers are getting about 6'2", which is about 3 inches over my head. And then it hits the floor within about a second and a half. And that makes me just want to run, dance, shout, and hoop, and holler, and just pray some more, right? No, it does not. And so I've got to understand the hesitations and the hindrances in prayer. Because God taught us to pray. He taught us indeed to pray. And how that even in the early morning, that when he woke up, he would go and that he would pray. In the evening time, he would pray. We would see that during the day, he would pray at times. And so I cannot say that the morning time is your moment of prayer, or that the evening time is your moment of prayer. The Bible said, they that seek the Lord early shall find him. Amen. For some of you, 11 o'clock in the morning is pretty early. I'm just playing, okay? I'm just simply saying, it doesn't matter necessarily what time it is, we've got to find time. Let me just back up and remake this. We've got to make time to pray, because finding time to pray is not going to happen. And if you're going to be successful in life, you better put some investment into your prayer life, and you better put it right up there on the top. There will be days, more than likely, that I am going to be more frustrated in prayer, amen, than hyped up about prayer, because the devil knows if he can keep you from praying, it won't be long before he can keep you from being faithful. If he can keep you from praying, it won't be long before he can keep you, amen, from paying tithe and offering. If he can keep you from praying, it won't be long before he can get you doing other things. The key is your prayer life. You cannot afford to let your prayer life go to waste. Let's clap our hands to the Lord today. And so last week, I kind of threw this out, and I didn't throw any extra explanation into it, but I threw this out in there. And there are various reasons why that we experience delay and hesitation in receiving our answers in prayer. Number one, I don't know if any of you wrote this down, but if you did, you can go back to that and receive it all over again. But number one, sometimes we are in no spiritual condition to receive the answer that God would send for us. Amen. I could talk about that for quite a while, but I really don't need to. Maybe I need to, but I don't have any plans to. But we are not in spiritual condition. We're not in a spiritual place to be able to receive the answer that God would have for us. Praise God. And so sometimes we need to pray that we get to the place that we could receive the answer that God would have for us. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And so we need to make sure that we are in the spiritual place that we can receive the answer from God that he would send for us. Sometimes, as the Bible said, we ask amiss and God withholds the answer to give us time to see for ourselves how wrong our request is. God, I really want you to do this. And God's saying, that is not for the best of your interest. And we just keep coming back again and again and again and again. God, I really want you to do this. God, do this. God, hear this. God, open this door. God, open this door. And God's saying, if I open that door, you're going to be lost. And so sometimes out of frustration, we act without an answer. You know, we pray, God, if it's your will, then do this and do this. And God, if it's your will, then do this and do this. And then all of a sudden, God doesn't do that. And so we change the fleece around and we say, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do this. And if it's not your will, God, then I want you to do this and do this and this. God's like, what do I got to do, you know? Sometimes we need to stop. We need to stop. It's better not to do anything than to do the wrong thing. And the Bible teaches us that sometimes we need to stand still. In your patience, possess ye your soul. It's not one of those things. I need patience and I need it right now. He said, there are some things that if you do, you would never fall. And he said, you need to add to your faith this and this and this and patience. And so sometimes God is trying to work all things together for our good, and we just need to stop. And stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And rather than being frustrated because we're sitting here continually, God, open the door! We just need to stop and see that God's got something else open. So, we can be frustrated simply because that we ask amiss. All right? Sometimes God uses the natural means to accomplish his purpose, and often it takes time for such results to be brought to pass, such as healing. God, I want you to heal me. God, I want you to heal me. God, I want you to touch me. God, I want you to change this in my life. And God wants the natural process to take place to bring it to pass. And so sometimes that brings frustration. And so there are many things that can affect the quality of our prayer life. And we want to be conscious about these things as well. And we need to understand. These are things that we need to consider and use to evaluate ourselves and see if these things are stealing the power and the victory and the joy from our prayer life. We must examine ourselves and see if there is something in our lives that could be hindering our prayers. And if we find nothing to hinder our prayers, then we must know that our frustrations is born because that there is a spiritual warfare going on in places that we cannot see. And this is where consistency has got to take place. And not just consistency, but this is where faith has got to kick in. As a child of God, you've got Bible that teaches you that God is as close as the mention of his name. And that if you seek after him happily, you might find him because he is more near than he is far away. And you've got Bible for all kinds of things that if God be for us, then who can be against us? And the list goes on and on. We are more than conquerors through him. And on and on and on. So don't let a little spiritual opposition in your life steal your victory so quickly. Put this in your remembrance. That many, many times the devil fights the hardest when he has the most to lose. Let me say that again. The devil fights the hardest when he has the most to lose. And when you feel like all of hell is coming against you, and nothing seems to be going right. And it just seems like everywhere that you turn, it's just wrong. And maybe you can't say it's wrong. It's just not going good. It's just not going right. It's just not happening. It's just frustration after frustration after frustration after frustration. Then you need to evaluate some things in your life. Number one, are you in the will of God? The
Bible said in the book of Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you can look at that thing and check it off and say, God, I'm doing this. I'm living right. I'm doing right. Presenting myself to you as holy as I possibly can. Then let's move on. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Ephesians, he taught us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. And the verse before that, the preceding verse before that, talks about, amen, to know the will of God and to do the will of God. And so when we look at that clause and we think the will of God, then we must bear in mind that this means this is what God would have me to do. The will of God. And so if it's the will of God, why would he hide it from you? If it is the will of God, why would he make it so hard for you to figure out? Is he so demented that he would hide his will from you and snicker and laugh at you as you messed up and frustrated yourself and scarred yourself by making wrong turns and such in life? And he just snickers and laughs at you and says, try again. Try harder next time. No, absolutely not. The will of God is exactly that. This is what he wants me to do. What do we know that is his will? We do know he said that his will is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, God does not want anybody to be lost. That's not his will. That's not his will. And so if you think to yourself, you know what, I'm just frustrated. I just don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. I just don't feel like I'm making any ground and getting any headway and stuff. And I just feel like I'm losing ground and stuff. That's not the will of God. You say, well, help me. What is the will of God? I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I know the will of God for every life. The only thing that I know for positive sure is that God doesn't want you to be lost. And there are things that you can add into your life that is going to cause you to be lost. And then we can evaluate that and say, look, this is causing you to be lost. This is causing you to go in a different direction and stuff. You need to get this out of your life to get back in the will of God, which is to be saved. And so if you are at a place of total frustration in your life and you just feel like everywhere, you just feel like you're, you know, what are those little things, the mimes or what are they called? There's no way out. Just stuck. I'm just stuck. Then stand still. But if you got sin in your life, you need to get to an altar. But if you're doing everything right and you are wholeheartedly seeking after God and delicately searching for God, carefully following after God, then just take your time. Because the frustration is often due to the enemy understanding the answer that is on the way. And the enemy knows, if they get this answer, it's going to be a long time before I'm going to get one up on them again. And so I'm going to fight extra hard. And so the prince of Persia comes in. And we talked about the prince last week. We talked about what power does an angel have. One angel was able to smite 144,000 of Sennacherib's men in one night. So an angel has immaculate, it has great power. And so there is this warfare that's going on in the heavens. The Bible teaches us about spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a place between the earth and the heavens that there is war that is going on, and that war is for your soul. And here you are praying to get an answer through. And the devil can't stop the prayers from getting through, but he's going to try to hinder the answer from coming back through. And he's going to try to make you feel separated from God. That doesn't mean that your prayer doesn't get through.
He's going to try to make you feel, amen, like there is some titanium force that is over you. But he can't keep your prayer from getting through. Whether you feel like your prayer got through or you don't feel like your prayer got through has no bearing on God's ability to hear that prayer. And the Bible says that God can even hear the prayer of a repentant sinner. Don't tell me that he's on vacation, amen, when the child of God and the apple of his eye and the one that has taken advantage of the blood begins to cry out to him and God turns a deaf ear and says, I don't want to hear you today. That is not the case. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And you need to stand upon the word of God and say, amen, devil, amen, I have a promise in his word that when I call unto him, he's going to hear me. And when he hears me, my answer is going to come through. It may not come through today. It may not come through tomorrow. But I just want you to know I'm not going to stop praying. Amen, if there is something going on in the heavens that is trying to come down to me, I'm going to keep sending my prayers up unto him. And one of these days, it's gonna break. I want you to take time to think about Cornelius. I want you to think about how frustrated he was. For the Bible said that one day his prayers came up before God as a memorial. A memorial. It came up before God as a memorial. Said not only his prayer, but his offerings came up before God as a memorial. And there's war that's going on in the spirit. You say, well, how do you know that there's war going on in the spirit? He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was his plan from the beginning that he was going to save everyone. Came unto the Jew first. But he knew that there would come a time because he sent Jonah to go preach to a Gentile nation. He knew that there was going to come a time that the Gentiles were also going to be, amen, poured out upon by his spirit. And so here's Cornelius, and Cornelius is praying and stuff, and maybe the answer is coming and stuff. But what I just want to point out is that finally, amen, just as it was in Daniel's case, amen, the prayers keep coming, the prayers keep coming, the prayers keep coming, the prayers keep coming. Finally, God turns around and looks at another angel and said, hey, go down there and help that angel out and get him so that he can get that answer down to him. This has gone on long enough. There is going to come a time in your life when that war that's going on in the spirit has been going on long enough. Amen. And God is going to stand up off of his throne and he's going to beckon another angel and say, it's time for some things to happen down here. Oh, amen. Child of God, don't stop. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you're going to reap. If you faint not, check your spirit. Check your motives. Check your life. And if everything is going right, you're doing right, you're living right, then just keep on keeping on. Put one foot in front of another foot. And when you prayed today, amen, be just like Daniel, that when he said, amen, that the decree had been signed, he said, I don't care what the decree says, I'm gonna go pray anyway. And he went back to his bedchamber as he had done aforetime, threw his window open, and he began to pray. I don't care what the devil's telling you and saying that your prayer's not working, that your prayer's not getting through, and that everything seems to be going wrong. You just go back to the throne of God. Lift up your head, open up your mouth, and begin to pray anyway, and see if heaven will not come through to you for you. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, let's just stand and magnify the Lord here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Maybe there's doubt here in this room tonight. I feel it. I feel a little seed of doubt. I feel and sense a thought that says, I've already tried that preacher.
I've been praying about this for X number of years and it still hasn't gone away. Frustrated. I wished I could introduce you to people that prayed for prayers for 35 years. And then all of a sudden it came through and God answered. What is time to God? What is time to God? Well, I wish God would hurry up. That's why He's not. That's why He's not. Because somewhere or another, you have to get to this place in life whether God answers me according to what I feel and what I believe, or whether He doesn't. I'm not going to live below. This is where faith has got to kick in. It's not the will of God for you to be a child of God and to walk around with your head hanging and bitter, upset, and frustrated all the time. So, well, if things would change, maybe I would change. That's a wrong attitude. It's a wrong attitude. People looked at Job and said, Job, why don't you just... His wife looked at him and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? I can't do that. God has been so good to me. But when all you can see is what God hasn't done, then you're going to live frustrated. But why don't you change perception and look at what God has done for you? Look at the many times that He's healed your body. Look at the many times that the creditors were ready to come down on you and God made a way. Look at the level that God brought you from to the place that you are now. And things may not be going exactly like you want them to go. But friend, you're still in the church. You're still in the church. And as long as God grants me the grace to live day to day, I can be happy and content. That doesn't mean that I'm going to stop pushing. It doesn't mean that I'm going to stop pressing. I'm going to push and I'm going to press. But I have faith that God knows exactly where I am. I have faith that my times are in His hands. I have faith that He directs my paths and orders my steps. And therefore, I have faith that He's going to keep me and all is going to be okay. Am I going to have frustrations? Absolutely. That's just because I'm human. I'm going to have frustrations. Am I going to falter and fall? More than likely. But why not be as the prophet Micah said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The Lord shall be a light unto me. I've fallen, but He's still God. I sit in darkness, but He's still God. I can make it. And you can too. You can too. The sun is going to shine again. The morning is going to break. Weeping may endure for a moment. Joy is going to come in the morning. And so I'm just going to walk by faith and not by sight. I see this frustration. I feel this frustration. I sense frustration. But I'm going to walk by faith and not by what I see. I am more than a conqueror. And you are too. You are too. So take joy in it. You are living in the shadow of a praying God, of a praying Savior, of a praying Master, who's looking down at you and saying, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. You're frustrated right now. Peter, you don't understand what's going on. And you're ready to say, I'll never deny you. You're frustrated right now. You're feeling the frustrations. But I'm praying for you, Peter. And when you're converted, strengthen your brother. How are you going to do that? You're going to come out with a testimony. What was a test turns into a testimony. You can do it. You can do it. Amen. Praise God. And so what are we going to do? Cast all of our cares on Him, because He cares for us. Praise God. I'm opening up these altars here tonight, and some of you, most of us, all of us, we need to come. We need to come. God, forgive me for being so frustrated at times. Forgive me. Forgive me for my actions. Forgive me for my ways. Forgive me for my lack of faith. My times are in your hands. And in this will I be confident that you are able to keep everything that you have promised until that appointed day. You can and you will. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Let's talk to him.